I'm going to talk tonight on faith. Now, how many here you don't care about faith and you don't especially want it? Let me see your hat. That's right. And that's the way I've always found it all over the world. How many you love it and you want it and you're after it, you'd like God to give you more and you'd like to have more? Let me see your hat. That's right. How many believe faith is real? How many know how many times faith is used in the old Bible? Does anybody here know? If you do, stick your fingers up with the amount of times. Oh, you say, I haven't got that many fingers. All right. Only two times. Now, there's things that would lean, such as he believed or that, but the word, just the word, F-A-I-T-H, faith, is only used two times, Deuteronomy and Micah. 270 some odd times it's used in the New Testament. How many believe we ought to be faith people compared to the Old Testament? Sometimes we think they put us to shame. They had faith, a lot of them, and God used them. We have the power of the Holy Ghost. We have the potential of doing as great or greater than they did. Now, this message that's given tonight will be taken down the tape. And unless the Lord changes my mind, I'd like for the next few Wednesday nights to just be, they call seminars and all that kind of stuff all over the country. I don't know what all of it is about. And they're good. You learn a whole lot. But let's just say that we're going to have, for the next few Wednesday nights, a dedicated time to study about faith, how it works, how you get it, how you keep it, and how it maneuvers in your life. Is it for us today? All about it. And it's such a tremendous subject that we could just call it a faith seminar for the next few Wednesday night and get all of your folk where you work, try to come out. And the teacher or the preacher will be Brother Hibbard. I'm going to do my best to do that. I have had a few experiences in faith. When I started out, I told the Lord, I don't care anything about riches, greatness, popularity, nothing, and I meant that. I said, there's one thing I want you to give me, Lord. I want you to give me faith. I want you to give me faith. And I don't care what it costs, and I should have weighed those words, because sometimes he puts you through a little school before you get into that place, and you have to kind of walk. There's a walk that you have to have with God to obtain that. You never do. And I am just in the primer. But I've always coveted faith. I've always admired it. I've always desired it. And I have had a few experiences in the Lord. And I'm going to try to share with you tonight just a few things that I have gleaned in my hunger, 50 years of searching and studying about faith. Now, faith is not this. God looks down from heaven, and he sees a few people in this church, and a few people over in that church, and a few people over here, and just a few scattered ones here and there, and he decides to let the Holy Spirit visit that individual and inject faith in them, and they have it because God did that for them. That's not anywhere in the Bible, and that does not exist. That's not true. You get faith yourself. If you want more faith, you can have it. Faith comes by not God falling in love with you and decide to give it to you. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Jesus, when he was here on earth, he began to talk about the potentials of faith. He should have known, because you'll never have any faith in God unless you pray long enough, shut yourself in, and when you come out of a prayer meeting where you've been there long enough to say, God, that thing I hold in my hand is the book. It's called the Bible. It's called God's Word, and I accept it from Genesis to Revelation. It is God's revelation to me. It is His truth, and I believe every word in it. I may not understand any, but I believe it with all my heart. That's the first step. You've got to believe what this book tells you. You'll never be able to walk with God and have faith and please God without believing His book. If the Word tells you something, believe it. Step out upon it. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. That's what faith is. It's the substance. Now, Sister Hibbard is looking at this book, but she doesn't have the substance. Take it. Now you've got the substance in your hands. Is that right? Now you have faith in me, don't you? All right. And I'll tell you that if you ask me for this book, I'll give it to you. Now you don't have the book now, do you? But you're going to ask me. Then after you ask me, you believe that as you reach out and take it, I'll give it to you. Because I told you that I would give it to you. And you ask me now to give it to you.
May I have the book?
You may have it. You see, I held it there far enough that I made her reach out and take hold of it. I wasn't giving it to her. She had to take it. Now, all of God's promises are just that way. That's it. God releases it to you in His book. His book tells you that whatsoever things you desire when you pray, believe that you receive it and you shall have it. You say, suppose it don't work. Can't. He can't lie. And He said, you shall have it. When you believe. One day God said to me, I preached on faith like I'm talking tonight. I preached on faith 45 minutes. And when I got through, it was at Liberty, Texas, preaching for Brother Varnell Smith. When I got through, I stepped back about this far from the pulpit, and they were coming to the altar. And after preaching 45 minutes, I stepped back, and the Holy Ghost spake to my heart as clear as I'm talking to you. Wouldn't you like to know what the Holy Ghost said to me? It's about faith. You know what He said? Here's what He said. And God's listening to me now, and He knows I'm telling you exactly what He said. He said, son, whatever you take by faith, I'll give to you. Wonderful. Whatever. He didn't say whatever you ask. He said, whatever you take by faith, I'll give it to you. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. You have them. You see, if you have it, why would you hope for something you got? If I said, I wished I had a gold watch, and I got one in my hand right here in my pocket. I said, I wish I had a gold watch. I got it. There's no wishing I have a gold watch. I got it. Now, if I need $100 and I had $100 in my pocket, I wouldn't say, wish I had $100. I've got $100. So, faith is a substance of things hoped for. You haven't got it, but you got faith. So faith is the substance of the things hoped for, and it is the evidence of things not seen. Now, if you have it, you could just look at it. You know, you got it. But faith is the... Now, that defines faith pretty much. You can step out upon it and trust in God, like Peter when he looked at that man that was lame. And he didn't see no straight legs. He saw crooked legs. He saw legs twisted. Here's faith in action. And he looks at him and he remembers that he's passed by him now hundreds of times. Not 50, but hundreds of times going in and out Jerusalem. And he's heard him shake his little cup a number of times. And somehow or another, his Lord walked with him several times and looked at the old fellow and said, bless him, and put a few pennies in and walked on and left him with his legs twisted and deformed, because for 38 years he was born crippled with his legs deformed and twisted, and he had never taken a step. They tell me that whenever you are on the bed for so many years, you have to learn to balance and walk all over again. You just can't get up and walk off. You've got to learn to balance. But when God steps in, brother, he fixes everything up just right. So Peter looks at this fellow, and this morning he's prayed up, though he's going to prayer meeting. He's already prayed up going to prayer meeting. He's getting ready to go to the hour of prayer, and he has enough power and enough faith in him since he was there the day before that when he comes up to the man and the man looks on him, he has faith this morning. What triggered it? I'm not able to tell you. There was something in Peter that he rehearsed what Jesus had said to him. This text that I'm giving you tonight, and I'm going to deal with this text tonight. Oh, I've got so many I've jotted down here, I'll have to put some of them off next week. I'm watching the clock. But I want to just give you so much, and then next week come with your pencil and paper again. But anyway, Peter, I'm showing you how that if you believe what Jesus said, it'll work. He looked at this man. Had he begun to reason, now wait a minute, he'd say here. 2 and 2 is 4, and that's a fact. When a man is crippled and born crippled and 38 years walked there, he just can't get up and walk off. That's reasoning it out pretty good. But God. When God moves on the scene, all impossibilities fade out of sight. Now, he looked at this man. Peter's made out of the same kind of mud I'm made out of, subject to all the temptation, had a wife, a home, family, with all the problems any individual have. He had people that liked him and some that wanted to cuss him, get rid of him. He was a normal human being that believed in Jesus, that used to be a fisherman, and the Lord called him to the ministry. And he looks at this fellow, and knowing that he is now crippled, and they have carried him every day of his life since he was old enough to go to the temple, the men would carry him and lay him on a pillow every day. That is the setup. He looks at him, and as he looks at him, faith begins to rise in his heart. The potential of what God can do. What can he do? He can do anything. If thou canst believe, all things are possible. This is something God said he could do it. Wait a minute, he says. I'm standing back now. You see, Jesus had already been crucified, resurrected, and gone to heaven when Peter was standing there at the gate. Beautiful. That is just a few days after the day of Pentecost. His Lord is not on earth now. He's in heaven. But he's standing there. He thinks back a few months ago, outside of the little village of Nazareth, we went along the road and we saw a fig tree, and Jesus went over to it. Now, Peter was right there under the nose of Christ, and Jesus addressed these words to Peter and John and the one standing there. But now Peter is thinking of what he said. And he's believing it. Oh, listen, this is it. This gives you a right to do something. If you want to believe for something, this gives you a right to believe for it. For Jesus said, if thou canst believe, all things are possible. And whatsoever things you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive it and you shall have it. Brother, that's something you can stand out on. But if you don't believe it, it's not for everybody. Don't ever think that. It's only for a few that believe. Those who don't believe, it's not for you. But when you reach a place and you say, well, it's for me now, I believe it. Brother, when you believe, it's for you. So Peter said, I remember when he went up to the fig tree and he wanted to get a fig. He was hungry, and he wanted to catch a ripe fig. And he got there, and he looked through the leaves, and it didn't have any figs. And he was disappointed, and he wanted to give a lesson to his disciples, I'm sure. So he looked at the tree, and he said, Tree, henceforth, let no fruit grow on you. You're dead. Come on, Cyprus, go back to town. Peter looked around at the fig tree. John looked around at the fig tree, and it was just as green as ever before, and they didn't even clear their throat. They didn't say, wasn't that a wonderful piece of work you did right there, Lord, kill that fig tree? They didn't say nothing. They didn't see nothing. I didn't feel nothing, so I don't feel nothing and see nothing. I don't have nothing. So they didn't react, just like us. We got the way to see it or feel it. But Jesus works on another scale. He said, you're dead. Well, he didn't want to go on and leave it there. He wanted to teach them a lesson. So he went on, got them a bunk, spent the night, got up next morning, had breakfast. Where are we going today, Lord? He said, going right back the same little old road went yesterday. Oh, yeah, we started there yesterday, and we had come back. Said, yeah, we're going. So we went down, turned around the corner. When they got around the corner, there it was, right out there, to the left. Just right there, plain before him. Dried and dead, and all every leaf in it was just hanging down like this. And the disciples of Peter, James, look here. Boy, look here. Lord, look at the tree. It's dead. Oh, and yesterday you said, henceforth, let no fruit grow in you. And when you walked away, you said, you're dead. And it's dead. All the leaves are hanging down, and they're turning brown already. Jesus wasn't excited. He didn't seem to be excited because he hadn't found out anything. He didn't know the day he spoke to it. He operated on another scale. He operated on faith. And so, listen. As now Peter, standing before this man, he's thinking of what Jesus said. The Lord brought him back. Follow me right here real quick. At least they're happy. Praise God. All right. So Jesus looked at him and he said, they said, but Lord, it's dead. Look, the leaves are dry. Now they're having a glorious time because they see something. Sensual. There is a sense realm. We see, we hear, we think, we talk, we taste, you know. But now, since it comes to the eyesight, they see it, it begins to, why, it's really happened. He said it yesterday, and it had no effect on them, because they had to see something before they believed. Faith reaches out, lays hold to the thing that's not, holds to it till it becomes that which is. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. It's the evidence of things not seen. Faith was the evidence of that tree dead with the leaves brown, hanging the leaves down. That was faith. That's what Jesus operated on. He knew if he believed, it'd have to be just like he said. Because he had said, you're dead. No fruit will ever grow on thee. And he believed that when he spoke words, they would, of faith, it would produce the action. So he said to him, what are you shouting about today? I didn't do anything today. Everything I did was yesterday when I stood here. Oh, but Lord, it's wonderful. He said, wait a minute. I've got something to say to you. And I believe the whole thing happened so he could say this. He knew what he wanted to tell him. He looked at him and he said, Peter, just a minute. Get quiet. Now, you praised, you've shouted, you've had your time. I've got something I want to say to you as disciples. So he
He looked at him and he said, Peter, John, James, the rest, have faith. Have faith in God. And you know, that's the secret of everyone here tonight. If you ever want to reach a place that you have faith, and it's real faith that gets the job done, you must have faith in God. Now, it's not, well, someone else tried it, and I believe I can try it. No. If God tells you you can do it, you don't have to wait to see if anybody's ever done it before you. If God says you can do it and believe it, you can do it. So Jesus had said to him, now have faith in God. Have faith in God. Not in things you see, but put your confidence in God. And he said, now, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you could say to this mountain, mountain, be moved into yonder place. And in Mark's writing, we have one in Luke, Mark, and in Matthew. All three of them about these things, but I'll quote each one of them. Jesus said, if you say to the mountain, be moved and be cast in the sea, the mountain will move and be cast in the sea. You say it's a mountain of doubt, mountain this, that, and other. He was looking at a mountain. He's talking about a real mountain. Now, we may not need to do that, and unless we feel that we're praying according to God's will, we don't have faith anyway. But he said if there was ever a necessity of moving a mountain, you could say to the mountain, mountain, move yonder and be cast in the sea. And the mountain would move and it would be cast in the sea. And I'm not through, he said, hold on. Have faith in God. Have faith as a mustard seed. Say to a mountain, be put in the sea, it's done. Say to this sycamine tree, great, huge thing, great big trunk. He was standing there right by it. He said, see this sycamine tree here? Huge thing. Say to that tree, tree, be plucked up by the roots and cast in the sea. And the tree shall come up by the roots, whirl through space, splashed in the sea. And nothing shall be impossible for you, for whatsoever you say, doubt not in your heart, but believe that whatever you say shall come to pass. It shall come to pass, and nothing shall be impossible. Whether it's a mountain, whether it's a tree, you say it. Doubt not in your heart. But believe that whatever you say shall come to pass, and there is no force existing that can withstand the power of the law of faith, because every atom that has compiled a substance that you can look at was made out of nothing, and they were compiled and brought into existence by the law of faith. And the law of faith is their daddy, their papa, and they realized it was that tool that brought them into existence, and it honors the law of faith. Now digest that. Who's talking? Not a dumb cluck, not a harebrained. The intelligent Son of God, that God said, this is my Son, hear him. And he said, I say to you that if you say to a mountain, be put in the sea, if you say to the tree, up by the roots and cast in the sea, and doubt not, but believe that whatever you say shall come to pass, and nothing shall be impossible with you. Doubt not, believe that whatever you say shall come to pass. Faith as a grain of mustard seed. He never dealt with the size of faith. Nothing about size of faith here. It's the quality. He said mustard seed is different than all other seed. Mustard seed, and everyone in those days knew it. You put two kind of plants together, and most of them will pollinate. One will mix with the other through pollen. And that'll happen in your gardens. You mix things and they'll mix. The pollen will mix. But mustard seed will not, cannot mix with no other herb on earth. It refuses to mix with anything, and it refuses to let anything mix with it. It's mustard seed, period. He says, have faith in God, period. No wavering, no doubting. Believe in your heart that whatever you say shall come to pass. Now here Peter believed that. He stands before this man that's crippled from his mother's womb. Now what do I have to do? All I have to do, I'm a child of God. I have the Holy Ghost. I have faith. Jesus said, if you ask anything in my name, you'll do it. Jesus said, if thou canst believe, all things are possible. That's what he said. And just before we went to heaven, I heard him say this. Peter, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also? He. The 12? No, he. 120? No, he. He that believeth on me. 5,000? No. He. Anybody. Whosoever will. I say unto you that he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and even greater works than these shall he do, because I go to my Father. And with those scriptures that come from God's word, like a mustard seed, he would not let the natural thing coming to him. A crippled leg is crippled, and a man deformed cannot stand and walk. All of those things coming, he said, that is not of God. God said, if thou canst believe, and you say it'll come to pass, he believed what God said. And as the mustard seed, he refused to let doubt come in. He looked at that man and he said, man, look on us. And the man looked upon him as though he had received some money. And Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have. He got it from Jesus. He got it from the word of God. Such as I have, give I unto thee in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Rise up and walk. Now he is getting ready to see something. Doubt not in your heart, but when you say it, believe. And if it's a mountain, it'll move. If it's a tree, it'll come up and splash in the sea. And furthermore, he said, I'll cover it all. Nothing shall be impossible. If thou canst believe, all things are possible. He didn't say, if I can believe. He said, if you can believe, all things are possible. And he said, in the name of Jesus, rise and walk. Now, he didn't stand back and say, now wiggle your toes, see if you can get a little life in it. No, he was believing as Jesus said to the tree, that's a healthy tree. No reason why it should die. But there was a word came out of his mouth with faith and said something and believed it. He said, you're dead. Henceforth, no fruit shall grow on thee. At that second, every life particle of that tree become neutral. It died. And Jesus knew it is dead. When he got up the next morning and went by it, he wasn't expecting a green tree. Why? Because he had faith in God. His faith was not mixed, and he knew that whatever he said, not only can I do it, but anybody else that believes in me, they can have that faith. And so he said, that man's going to leap and shout and walk right now. And he reached out while he was still sitting there flattened out with his legs all shaped out every way. And there's not a doctor in 100 million that said there's one chance in 100 billion that he could ever walk in his whole life, much less now. But ignoring such stuff as that, dealing with a God that knows no impossibilities, he stretches forth his hand, and according to the word as you read it, took him by the hand and jerked him up and said in the name of Jesus, rise and walk. And when he jerked him up, the power of God straightened his feet out as perfect as any man and put flesh on him, put muscles on him, and made him straight. When he landed on his feet and began to jump and walk and shout, and everybody began to come together and knew that he's the fellow for 38 years. Lay there. Power of faith. Same little old boy on the sea. Stormy night. Waves and clouds, darkness, a tempest, fear in their hearts. And all at once, they see a glow on somebody coming close, and they look, and someone said, it's the Lord. Out there on that stormy sea. And Peter looked at him, and he said, Lord, if it's you, bid me come to you. You can do it. I can do it. And Jesus said to him, Peter, come on. Now, had he known that there's a limit where God said, wait just a minute, child. After all, you can press me a little too far. You can go a little too far with this thing. After all, men can't walk on water because, you know, you have nothing, you know, it's nothing to hold you up. You've got to defy the law of gravitation to walk on this water. Well, you'd have to defy the law of gravitation to say to that tree, up. Because gravitation says down. Up! Go into the sea! And it'll obey you. Why? Because the law of faith never argues with the law of gravitation, because the law of gravitation was instituted and brought into power by the law of faith. And the law of faith has superiority over everything. And he gives that into the heart of every child of God. And if we exercise it and cultivate it, know what God can do. And here the Lord said, come. Now, had the Lord known that man couldn't walk on water, how many believe he had been very unscriptural? And it would have been mean, and it wouldn't have been right to have had him to jump out there and go flop down. He would go coming up with his hair all wet and fighting around in the big waves just coming over. Played a trick on him. But Jesus said, come. And Peter, believing the word, oh, thank God, if you can only believe this. Believe it. He leaped off of the banister of that thing. Now, don't go out tomorrow and try to walk. My little girl, Darlene, bless her heart, you all know she preaches here 4-7-9-8. We preached, and she'd heard me preach this, that Peter walked on the water. So one day she came in wet as a rat. And she was crying. Mama said, what's the matter? What'd you do? Said, well, what'd you do? What'd you do? Where did you get in that water? I told you to stay out of that pond out there. It was only about a foot and a half deep. Thank God for that. She might have drowned if it had been deeper. But anyway, she said, well, It just don't work. Mama said, well, what do you mean don't work? That's not answering my question. How did you get wet? Well, that's what I'm trying to tell you. It just don't work. What do you mean don't work?
Well, the Bible said, and Daddy preached that that Peter had faith and he walked on the water. And I was out there and I asked Jesus, I said, Jesus, let me walk on this water. And I stepped out there and I didn't walk. I hit the bottom and I got a little wet.
You say, why didn't Jesus let her walk? Because he thought too much of millions of other little kids. They'd have tried it too, drowned him. She didn't need to walk on water. She didn't need to walk on water. That wasn't God's will. It'd only caused, if it had happened, and we'd have made a big boost of it. Kids all over the country been trying to do it, and Hotel Hammond come up drowned. Make it a display. But it doesn't change God's word one bit. I said it doesn't change God's word one bit. She was merely doing something because Daddy said it worked. She said because he said it worked, it worked for me. It'll work for you when you have faith in God. The child didn't even know about the laws of faith and what it meant to believe God. She, in her childlike way, she did the best she could. But Peter stepped out there and he hit the water and stayed on top of it. Now, how can you do that? How can a crippled man walk? I'll tell you how. When God gets in it, you can do it. All things are possible. Now a man gets on top of water and he doesn't sink an inch. He stays right on top. Do you think he was going up and down and up and down and the waves were high? There was a storm on. Do you think that? No. I think the waves were just nuzzling down as they'd come to him, and he was just walking right on top. And as he'd walk, they'd just hold him up, just like he's walking on a sidewalk. And he came walking to Jesus. You'll say, well, I'll tell you how that happened. Now, I'll explain that. Jesus, the Son of God, he had a whole lot more power. But remember this. He came down and was made lower than angels, and he took upon him the form of sinful flesh. He was made in the likeness of men, took upon him the form of man, and become subject to all of our infirmities. He was tempted in all points like as we. Yet he had God's power to show us the potential of an individual that will sell out to God. Now, if it had been Jesus exercising the faith and keeping him up on top of the water, and he would say to his buddy that he loved, Peter, come on. And Jesus is exercising the faith, and his faith goes into action, and Peter walks on the water because it's Jesus' faith. Then we'd think, well, we never can do things unless the Lord particularly tells me to do it, and he's maneuvering it. But Jesus said, it's on your own, boy. I'm walking on my own. I told you the other day, but a fig tree, anything could happen. If you believe you can walk on water, you can walk. And he said, I can walk. And he bounced over and hit the water and walked on it. Praise God. He kept coming to Jesus. And while he's coming, he's wanting to see how it worked, you know. And he looked around to see how big the waves were. And when he got his mind off of what he was believing for and for what he was going to Jesus and all, it said he saw the waves that they were boisterous. And he began to doubt. How do I know? Because Jesus said he did. Now, all at once, Peter, that has walked a good way from the ship, and they all saw him as he walked on the water. It didn't say he just took a step. He walked upon the water, coming to Jesus. As he walked upon it, he actually stayed right on top. A man's heavy, and water don't hold him up, but I don't care how heavy you are and how light water is, you stay on top when you believe, for he stepped out and believed that whatever you say, doubt not in your heart, but believe. He was not believing. Now he was doubting. It says, doubt not. Doubt not. When you doubt, that's letting the outside elements mix in with your mustard seed. It does not pollinate with God's faith. You can have it. So he walked. But while he walked with faith that held him on top, all at once, he kashosh. He went down as heavy as anyone else, as if you'd go out and you'd leap over and you'd hit the water and you'd whoosh, and the waves would ripple out from you.
Lord, save me. Why? Because there's a storm on. And the storm was raging. He had seen the storm, got a little afraid. And he got his mind off of the Lord and faith and believing and got his eyes on the things that were round about. Listen to Brother Hibbard. Listen to me. And he began to doubt. And he went down. Now, had Jesus said, come on, Peter. I'm going to let him walk, but it's not going to be his faith. It's going to be, I'm going to believe for him. I'm going to believe for him. And he'll walk. Now, come on, Peter, walk. You see? And it's Jesus' faith. He never would have sunk. Oh, no. He'd have walked to Jesus, walked by his side, walked all the way back. Why? Because Jesus never fails. Jesus hadn't gone down. He's still on top. He said, Peter, what happened to your faith? Mine still holding me up. I'm having to pick you up and carry you now, son. What happened to you? Man, he's cold. Lord, he said, I looked around and saw the waves, that they were boisterous. And Jesus said to him, Peter, wherefore did you doubt? Peter, wherefore did you doubt? Faith walked him on the water, and doubt put him down. It was not the faith of Jesus that let him walk. It was Peter's faith. It was Peter's doubt that put him down. When Joshua, and I'm going to tell you this in close because it's 9:15, I've got 7 more things that I said I must get these to get the core of faith. And I've got them all here, but I'm keeping them for next week. I've only give you 3. When Joshua was out there, nobody didn't tell him, now if you'll do it, son, I'll stand behind you. He was fighting a battle for God. And while he was out there trying to whip the enemy, it was getting dark. And that man had faith of his own. Nobody said, now Joshua, remember that a lot of other people did this and it worked for them. He didn't have a case in the Bible where anybody had ever believed for it. But Joshua stood there and he looked at that son and he said, son, stop right where you are. Don't go down a bit more and move. Stay in the valley of Adullam and don't you move until I get through. And for 24 hours, the sun stayed where it was and the moon stayed there. What actually took place? Faith in the heart of a little fellow about 6 feet tall with a heart in him about big as my fist had living faith in a God in heaven and came out and opened up his mouth and said a word and didn't doubt. He believed that what he said was going to come to pass. When all of his captains were watching and listening, he said, son, stand where you are. Since Adam, it had always moved down. But when he said, stay where you are, moon don't move in the valley of Adullam, that sun stayed still. Now, we know what happened. The earth is rolling on its axis. It's going 1,000 miles an hour. It makes a complete turnaround every 24 hours. It's right at almost 25,000 miles around the earth. And every time it makes one circle, it's gone that many miles. We're traveling a fraction over 1,000 miles an hour. Now, let me tell you, when a car stops real quick, going 100 miles an hour, it tears the front end up. Am I right? Car don't weigh too much, but when that car going 100 miles an hour stops, I want you to think how much this earth weighs. I want you to think how much coal, oil, rock, gold, silver, marble, stone, granite, all kind of weight, nickel. They claim you get down about 50 miles below us, it's solid nickel from there to the heart of the earth. Think of what 1 square foot of nickel would weigh. Think of what this world would weigh. Billions and billions and billions and billions of tons. It's out in space hanging in on nothing. And it's whirling at 1,000 miles an hour. Is there 100 million atomic bombs that could be cemented in the world and go off at one time and with the thrust of 100 million atomic bombs cause the earth to stop. No, the earth would still whirl on and your atomic bombs would still go. But when one little man 6 feet tall with a heart big as your fist came out and said, "Moon, stay where you are, and sun, stand where you are," it stood still. What do I mean? The earth come to a driving stop in a second's time. From going 1,000 miles an hour, and it had been going 1,000 miles an hour ever since God made it. But all at once it comes to a driving stop, and the earth doesn't even move. It's not even moving. Because we know the sun doesn't go around the earth. The sun stays up there. And the days and nights is because the earth turns. So the earth stood still for 24 hours. Did you ever stop to think of the power of faith? That's a pretty good hunk of load, isn't it? What is the only thing that if one of our hydrogen bombs, the most powerful that America or Russia has today, far hundreds of times more powerful than leveled Hiroshima or Nagasaki, hundreds of times more powerful. If the most powerful bomb that America or Russia could ever have, if they set it off, and just as it broke its atoms and began to explode and send everything for hundreds of miles around about it, and window lights are shattered out, the earth for hundreds of miles around it are shaken by the great power. What is the only force that could stop it in a split second after it starts and nuzzle it down and keep it from completing its explosion? There's only one thing. It's the thing that Christians hold in their heart. You could have faith, and that's the only power. Why? Because, brother, that faith can disintegrate any atom. It can neutralize it. It can become absolutely void of any power whatsoever when God speaks the word. He threw down the stick. It was a tree that had been made into a rod in the vegetable kingdom. And God said, "Throw it down, I'll show you what I can do." And when he threw it down, it turned into a serpent in the animal kingdom. He not only brought it back to life, but he switched it from one kingdom to another and made a perfect snake out of it. And he had eyeballs and wiggled around. And he said, "Pick it up by the tail." He picked it up and it went back into a stick again. He said, "That's God doing the work." Friend, nothing is impossible with God. I want you to let this weigh on your brain. This world whirling 1,000 miles an hour and one man saying, "Stand still." We have no record where God told him to do it. If you do it, I'll back it up. You'll find the Bible filled with great miracles where the individual, without God telling them to believe him for it, they just stepped out and said, "God, we believe it." And God honored their prayer. I'm not going to go on any further tonight because I've got several outstanding, wonderful things that I'm going to tell you next Wednesday night. How many here tonight, you want to have faith in God? And I'm going to tell you as we go along how you can let that faith increase. It's wonderful. I will say this before closing because I'm just making a statement. When God was moving upon my heart to step out and believe him for outstanding miracles, and I'll tell you a few in our ministry when we stepped out, and God is still performing them here. Just the last few weeks or so, we've had some outstanding miracles. And I got alone with God and I said, "God, I want to know what I have to do to have that faith of the apostles." And as I waited before God, are you listening? I waited before God. I wanted faith. And you've got to want it before God will give it to you. Before that faith can operate, you've got to have a hunger for it. And I prayed, and I sought God with an honest heart. And as I prayed with my hands up, I said, "God, I want to know what
a man today would have to do to be able to have the faith that the apostles had as they went about. And after that, I saw some things equivalent to things that happened back there in their day. But when I asked God that question, the Lord answered me as a man answers a man, as clear as I'm talking to you. And I'll tell you what he said to me. He said, "Son, if you'll talk to me as much as you talk to man, and if you'll let me talk to you as much as you let man talk to you, you can have it." The devil didn't say that. Think it over. As much as you talk to man, weigh it out. The disciples said what? "Let there be certain ones come in here to take the menial task and carry the groceries and do the other things, so we won't have to leave the word of God to fool with the natural things, that we may give ourselves continually to the ministry of the word and prayer." The word and prayer. What's the word? God talking to you. What is this? It's God's word. When you read God's word 5 minutes, God has been talking to you 5 minutes. How does faith come? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. He said, "If you will let me talk to you, and when you let this book talk to you an hour, and then you let man talk to you an hour, then when the hour's up, then say, wait a minute, got to go back and let God talk to me some more. And then when you talk to man, that means for you to get alone and talk to God as much as you talk to man." You say, well, everybody can't do that. Everybody's not having that kind of faith they had back there either. But I'll say this. There is a dedication we can have. I asked God a question. What would we have to do today? Could we have it? He didn't say, "Son, it's the wrong dispensation. I've sat down. The power's over. The gospel has changed. The day of miracles are past. And I'm not doing that today." He didn't say it. He said, "If you'll let me talk to you as much as you let man talk to you, and if you will talk to me as much as you talk to man, then you can have it." Get down on your knees. Spend as much time talking to God. Then take the Bible and read it. He said, "You can have it." Next week, I have this on tape. Next week, I'm going to pick up. I've got some things I'm going to deal next week, and you'll understand. There are 7 laws that God has that functions and works perfectly. 7. And the law of faith is one of them. But the law of faith is the king over all other laws. All other laws are subject to the law of faith. None of these laws can have effect on either any of the others. Only faith. Faith has supremacy over every law. And I'll show you in God's word where nothing ever says to faith, "I can't do it." When we have faith, when we speak, and when we say a word, "And doubt not but believe in our heart," it said, "And doubt not but believe in your heart that it's come to pass, it shall come to pass, and nothing shall be impossible." Let's stand to our feet together. Oh, hallelujah. As we stand, how many tonight, you'll say, "Brother Hibbard, I'd like to have more faith in God." Let me see your hand. Be honest about it. I want all of you to come to the front as close as you can come and stand real close here tonight. And when you come, I have just one word I want to say to you here. And then we're going to raise our hand. Huh? Okay, fine. Have faith. How many believe that little fever you've got? You've got something in here bigger than that little fever. That fever comes on through the law of sin and death. Am I right? That disease comes on through the law of sin and death. Jesus said, these signs follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils, speak with new tongues. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. How do you know it? Because this is God's word and you believe it. When you lay your hands on them, you don't expect them to stay the same. If you don't know whether it'll work or not, and you just pray and you hope it works, then it won't work. He said, don't let a man think he'll get anything, because you won't. Let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. Don't waver, but ask in faith. When you ask God and you say, in the name of Jesus, I curse this thing, it's healed. Oh, hallelujah. It works. Next Wednesday, I'm going to show you some things under my own eyes I saw. It's hard for a human to believe it. Things I saw. I want to help your faith. You'll never have faith without giving God a certain amount of your time. He that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do. Why? Why? Because I go to my Father. If I don't go to my Father, it'll not happen. But if I go to my Father, I'll pray the Father, he'll give you another comforter, you'll get the Holy Ghost, and you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And when the Holy Ghost comes in, he has in him resident the gift of faith. And when you get ready to believe God, the Holy Ghost is in there, and you can believe. Why? Because the works that I do shall you do also, in greater works than these. Because. I want to know why because. Because I go to the Father. If I don't go to the Father, you can't do the things that I do. But if I go, you can. You'll get the Holy Ghost. And you get the Holy Ghost, you'll receive power. Stay in the upper room until you be endued with power from on high. How many believe that God wants his church to go out of this world with a blazing fire? He wants every Christian to have living faith in God. Talk about seminars. I want you to come next Wednesday night with your notebook. Get the tape that we have and play it over again. And the next week we'll have one. You've got faith come to hear. He didn't say maybe. He didn't say it might. He said it will. You come, bring yourself here, bring others that want faith. There's Episcopalians, Lutherans, and Methodists, and Baptists that are hungering for faith. They've been told long enough that God is broke. He's crippled. He's old. He's setting down. The day of grace is over, or the day of faith is over. The gospel has been changed. The days of miracles are past, and they're everyone a bald-faced lie. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And if you tell them to come, they can have faith. And we'll be teaching faith that responds to that Christian. Oh, hallelujah. How many believe Jesus wants to give you a deeper depth? Take heed to the things which thou hast heard. How many believe your pastor tonight has given you God's word? How many believe faith works? How many believe it's the most powerful, potential thing? It can stop the earth from rotating. And one little fellow, Isaiah, said, I don't want it to stop. I want the earth to stop and reverse, going 1,000 miles an hour in the reverse position. It's going now, and the sun sets in the west. It rises in the east. But I want this sun to stop, and the shadow in Ahaz's dial, instead of the sun going to the west, I want it to stop. And I want that shadow to come back, and I want that sun to start traveling to the east for 1 hour. And I'll know that you're God. And he stood out there, and the old Ahaz dial, the shadow stopped, and he watched it, and he watched it. It didn't move indirectly. It made a move. Ha! Glory! It's going back to the east. And it kept on and on and on. And the shadow went back for 1 hour toward the east. He said, that's enough, God, you did it. Now start on. And so then the sun went in the right direction. 3,000 years later, our brainage science, figuring exactly the hours and minutes since Adam's time, calculated every 24 hours, and then can tell you 8 years ahead what second the sun will rise in what day of the month it'll come up. They came up and the whole world found this out. They said, we have searched at one day. 24, 25 hours is missing. And that's what the brained men that studied the calculation that put men on the moon by maneuvering it and by the calculators. And it went all over the earth until finally they said, man, open up and read the word. There was a man back there in Joshua's time that stopped this earth for 24 hours. And there was another little fellow, 6 feet tall, named Isaiah. And he believed that God would stop it for an hour and back it up. And if you want to look for those 25 hours, you'll find them in the Bible.